It's time for Magnuson Nature News, a monthly program about the amazing nature inside Magnuson Park. Each month will have a different theme featuring one of the animals or plants that lives here in the park. You'll hear fascinating facts, true nature stories that happened in the park, and the best places inside Magnuson Park to find our featured animal or plant of the month, and much, much more. Magnuson Nature News is brought to you by Magnuson Children's Garden, a great place for the whole family to visit together during any month of the year, and where all our events are free. I'm your host, Emily Bishton, and if you're one of the thousands of kids and parents who've met me over the past 15 years at Magnuson Children's Garden, or while I was working at Magnuson Community Center Nature Programs, the Jane Addams or Sandpoint Elementary School Garden Programs, or from any school who has come to Magnuson for a field trip, I want to give you a special welcome. Magnuson Children's Garden is delighted to be part of this wonderful new radio station, Space 101.1, and hope you enjoy this edition of Magnuson Nature News. Thanks for tuning in to this month's show, and I want to wish a happy St. Patrick's Day to you, to all of the crows, and to everything green in Magnuson Park. Can you guess what our special nature creature of the month is this month? I knew you could. It's crows. Anyone who's been to Magnuson Park has probably seen crows there. They like Magnuson Park as well as many, many other areas in the city. You might see them along the road, in a parking lot, at the ferry dock, or any other place where there's human beings. They have adapted very well to living in the city along with us. Let's talk a little bit about why. Crows belong to a family of birds called the Corvid family. They are some of the most adaptable and intelligent birds in the whole bird world. Their brain is very well developed, and they can adapt quickly to changing circumstances. And in a city, lots of things are changing all the time. Not all birds can keep up with those changes, but members of the Corvid family can. Their family includes ravens, also our Stellar Jay, magpies, which are in eastern Washington, and also ravens, which are sometimes in the city, but most of the time they're out in the countryside, especially in eastern Washington and other dry areas. But crows will also be out away from the city. They might be in a big farm where there's an orchard. Any place there that there's enough shelter and enough trees for them to build nests in. Well, let's talk a little bit about their nests, because it's almost nesting season for crows. Their nests are built usually at least 15 feet off the ground, but they could be up as high as 60 feet in a tree. They especially seem to like trees that lose their leaves in the winter. And they will nest high in the tree, right in the crook of a branch. And in fact, sometimes they even break off dead twigs inside that tree to use for their nest. If you ever see that happening in a big tree, you will know that a crow is probably going to build its nest in that tree or a very nearby tree. In my backyard in Seattle, there was a special tree that they liked the best to break off dead branches from. It was a lilac tree. and it had lots of little dead branches. And so every spring I would see the crows in there breaking off with their big, strong bill, breaking off those dead branches and taking them to a nearby tree. Their nests are really about as big as a basketball cut in half. So if you can imagine a basketball or sometimes a soccer ball cut in half, that's about the size, like a big bowl, and made up not only of branches that they've broken off, but they might also be made with leaves, pieces of string that they might have found on the ground, lots of other things that they find because they're so good at hunting and picking up things right off the ground. When they nest, sometimes their young from previous years will actually help the parents guard the little baby nestlings while they're still in the nest, find food, and just to help care for them. They're very family-oriented. That's one thing about crows is they really stick together. And that also comes to guarding the whole flock from predators. At Magnuson Park, the biggest predator of crows is the red-tailed hawk. There's a lot of red-tailed hawks that come to Magnuson Park to hunt all sorts of different prey. But if they could catch a crow, that would be a pretty big dinner for them or for their nestlings. So whenever crows see a red-tailed hawk anywhere in Magnuson Park, they all get together, because they all stick together. They all get together and try to chase that hawk away. If you ever hear a whole bunch of crows calling really loud, either from the air or from the top of a tree, stop and take a good look and see what they're chasing or what they're yelling at. Sometimes they'll just sit in the tree and call and caw and make all sorts of big noises just to get the hawk to fly out of the tree, especially if there's a nest in that tree. They are very, very good at sticking together as a family. Long after their young are old enough to be out on their own, a lot of times they still stick around and help mom and dad take care of the next little brothers and sisters. Let's talk a little bit more about how crows show us how smart they are. First of all, crows are omnivores, which means they eat just about anything. They'll eat insects, spiders, even slugs and snails. They might eat fruit and nuts. They might even eat vegetables. But they also will eat garbage, humans' garbage. Like maybe you went to throw away some leftover French fries that you were eating and a couple of them didn't make it into the garbage can. Crows would be the first thing to see that and come down and eat those French fries. They will also eat food that we did not accidentally leave for them. And our true nature stories that we have this month are all about that. And we have some special guests with us this month. Let's talk about some other ways that crows show us how smart they are. Crows are known to drop hard-shelled nuts down into the street and then wait for a car to come and run over them to crack them open. That is pretty smart, because even a crow's beak isn't strong enough to break open a real hard-shelled nut. Also, a lot of crows that live along the water like to eat seafood. But their bill is not strong enough to open the shell of a mussel or a crab or some other shellfish, so they will drop those from a very high place. They'll fly up with them very high in the sky and drop them down on the rocks below to crack open the shell so they can eat them. That is pretty smart. Crows are also one of the only birds that uses tools. They can actually grab a stick and use it like a little tool to pry a bug out of a crack in a log or some other place. That is pretty smart. Also, crows know who their enemies are, who their predators are, and so they will usually post a guard while they're feeding, whose only job is to alert all the other birds if there is any danger. And when crows flock together in really, really big flocks, which you might have seen also, they always have guards all around the edge of the giant roost to keep them aware of any predators that might come. And at nighttime, one of the predators they're the most afraid of are large owls, such as the great horned owl, that would be big enough to carry away a crow if it wasn't being guarded. And hawks in the daytime are big enough to carry away a crow. So they are really smart to know that they need a lot of guards, especially when there's young crows or when there's a lot of them all gathered together. One other thing to remember in living with crows like we do in the city is that when it's time for nesting season, not only do crows like to protect themselves from any predators like hawks, but they're also trying to protect themselves from anything they think might be a predator, and that includes human beings. So just like they chase the hawks in the air or sit in a tree and call loudly at them to try to get them to move, if they see you and they think you might be a predator, they might dive bomb you. And that means they just swoop down close over your head. And maybe if they're really upset, they might even take their feet and kick the top of your head as they go by. This is not because they want to eat you for dinner or anything like that. This is to scare you, and it does a really good job. If you're not expecting it and a crow comes down and swoops you, it's pretty scary. So here's some ways that you can avoid getting dive bombed. Crows are just trying to protect either their mate or their young in the nest when they dive bomb human beings. So if it's possible, don't go near a crow's nest during nesting season. But let's say the crow's nest is near the playground at your school, or it's right on the way where you always walk or ride your bike to school, or maybe it's even in your backyard or your neighbor's yard, then it's hard not to have to go past the nest. So here's some tips on what you can do. While you're walking, wave your hands over your head so you look bigger than you are. That might help keep them from dive bombing you. Always wear your bicycle helmet, which you do anyway when you're riding your bike. That'll help. But some people actually carry an umbrella when they have to go near a crow's nest, because the umbrella will protect them from if a crow does dive bomb, but an umbrella makes them look much bigger, so that might keep a crow from dive bombing. But also, one of the most important things that it would do is keep a crow from seeing your face, because crows can recognize faces. Not only that, a crow that recognized your face and thought that you were a predator will tell all the other members of its family and maybe even its flock all about what you look like. And of course, they're speaking in crow language, which we don't understand, but we know they do this because of experiments and research that the University of Washington bird scientists have done. It's really amazing. But crows can remember your face. So, what they found out when they did the research is that crows will dive bomb someone even if it's not nesting season, if they recognize their face and think that that person is a predator. So I think the umbrella is actually the best solution if you have to walk near a crow's nest. But another thing to remember is to never try to help a baby crow that fell out of the nest if there's lots and lots of adults around. It's better to call an organization like PAWS or another wildlife rescue center. They have professional people who know exactly how to rescue a baby crow if it needs rescuing without being in danger. So that's the best solution for you to do too. Thanks for listening to this month's episode all about crows. See you in the park.